Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
With God, nothing is impossible. And how did Mary respond? She said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." You know what she did? She humbled herself and received the word. And then the Holy Spirit came upon her, and everything about the birth of Jesus was 100% natural, with one exception, and that is that a man didn't supply the seed. The word of God was the seed. This is exactly what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever." The word of God is a seed. And the Holy Spirit took these prophecies, the words that had been God-inspired throughout the centuries, and the word was the seed that entered into Mary's womb. That was the only supernatural part of the birth of Jesus, was the conception. But then the rest of it was totally normal. She carried Jesus 9 months just like any woman would. Everything was totally normal, but the seed was the word of God that entered into her. Man, I don't know if you get that. But that to me is just overwhelming, that God Almighty was constrained by His own words that He had said. You have control. If it would have been us, when we saw man mess things up, we'd have just said, "Time out, I don't want this." We'd have started over. We'd have broken our word and thought we'd just do it different. No, God can't break His word. It's impossible for God to lie, is what it says in Hebrews 6. He can't lie. God cannot just say, "King's X, time's out, do over." He bound Himself by His own word. God loves you. He doesn't want to see you suffer. He doesn't want to see you hurt. He doesn't want to see your family fall apart. He doesn't want to see people die. But He said, "You resist the devil and he will flee from you." And you're dying and you're suffering and you're, God, why aren't you doing something? Because He's got integrity, because He's got justice, and He gave you power and He told you to heal the sick, you to cleanse the lepers, you to do this. And God will not, cannot violate His word. Even God Himself was constrained by it. And He took 4,000 years before He could get enough people to respond and speak forth these words. Man, to me that is awesome. And if God Himself is constrained by that, and if that's the way that God operates, how in the world can I sit here and just say, "God, if You really love me, You'd just heal me"? No, there's laws. There's things that restrict how God operates. And most of them is us getting in the way and believing the wrong thing and saying the wrong thing. Man, that scripture I quoted, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we sit here and people say, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm dying. Doctor says I'll be dead in a month. Man, I'm hurting. I got this problem." We speak all of this junk and then we go to God and we get upset. "Why haven't You healed me?" He said, "Death and life are in the power of your tongue." You're speaking death. You're killing yourself with your own words. You're hung by the tongue. And then you're upset with God as to why He hadn't done it. Everything's working exactly the way He said it would. Death and life. We just choose to speak the death instead of speak the life. And then we get upset with God as if He's the one that's unjust and didn't come through. God's not the one that's failed. It's us that's failed to renew our mind. We're ignorant. "My people perish for a lack of knowledge," is what the Lord said. And we are just ignorant. We're saying things. We're listening to death. We're listening to unbelief. Whether you know it or not, brothers and sisters, we live in a world of unbelief. We live in a culture of unbelief. Our world today, I believe, is much more full of unbelief and ungodliness than when Jesus came to this earth and Jesus had to deal with their ungodliness. We are baptized in unbelief. We are baptized in deception. There's terrible things going on in our world, and most of us are plugged into it and pipe it into our home and watch it. And then we wonder, why am I depressed? Something would be wrong with you if you aren't depressed looking at what's going on in this world. It's depressing. Amen. You have to make an effort to focus your attention on things that are honest and pure and lovely and of good report. I guarantee you, if you're just like your neighbor watching the same junk, if you're letting the sewage of the world flow through your home the same as your unsaved neighbor, don't be surprised if you get the same results as your unsaved neighbor. These are just laws. This is how the kingdom works. God gave us a choice and we're making wrong choices and then blaming it on God as to why things aren't working better. God himself responded to his own laws. When he gave us authority, he didn't violate. And this is why Jesus had to become a man. Look at this over in John chapter 5. This is a powerful passage of scripture. Jesus is defending his authority. Of course, the scribes and Pharisees were saying, you don't have the right and the authority to be doing these things. And Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Verily, verily. You know, every time the Lord said verily, verily, everything he said was true. But when he says truly, truly, verily, verily, that's because he knew that this was going to be unbelievable. People were going to think, you couldn't mean this. And so he would just say, this is the truth, to emphasize it. So anytime he had to say this, you can just take this to the bank. This is absolutely true. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, how come I have authority? Because I am the Son of Man. The term Son of Man refers to his humanity side, his physical earthly body. The term Son of God refers to his divinity. When it's mentioning Jesus as the Son of God, that's divinity. And that's the reason that scribes and Pharisees says, this is blasphemy. We should kill him because he made himself the Son of God. But when he said Son of Man, that's always referring to his physical body. And he said, here's the reason I have authority on this earth is because of this physical, tangible body. Jesus, God, had to become a man because man had blown things. And man couldn't fix things. And God couldn't fix them because he wasn't a man. He was a spirit. And only physical human beings could deal with the devil. If you remember the example that I used this morning, Satan didn't have the power to come and steal the control of the earth from us. He had to deceive us and we had to give it. And then one of the reasons that he came against man is because this power that God gave us, this authority, was unconditional. And in a sense, Satan used us like a hostage. He had a gun to our head saying, God, they gave this control to me. They yielded of their own free will. If you try and get me, if you want to punish me, you got to punish Adam and Eve because they were complicit. Compliant, or however you say that. That they agreed with me. They gave this to me willfully. So in a sense, man was a hostage. And because God loved mankind so much, he couldn't come down and punish Satan independent of man because men were also guilty. And because of his great love for us, the hostage, he didn't kill the bank robber. He allowed Satan to operate, not because he approved of what Satan was doing, but because he would have been unjust to judge Satan and not judge us at the same time. But when Jesus became a man, Jesus became one of the hostages. This totally changed the situation. Now God is in flesh, and the devil had been hiding behind our flesh and using it as a shield against the wrath of God. Now God was in flesh. And God not only had authority in heaven, but he had authority here on the earth. And man, Jesus took it to the devil. When Jesus became a man, the devil was hurting for certain. Amen. And Jesus took it to the devil, and Satan was so stupid, he played right into the hands of God and killed Jesus and took his spirit down to hell. And when he did that, now God was in hell too. Amen. And God just literally destroyed hell and came out of hell with the keys of death and of hell on his side. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he said in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Now, Satan has been destroyed. And then he turned around and he says, go ye therefore. It's implied that Jesus took this authority that he had gained in heaven and in earth and gave it back to us, the church. There's one significant difference between what we have and what Adam had. First of all, Adam didn't have authority in heaven. He only had authority in the earth. We have authority in heaven and earth and hell. But there's another significant difference, and that is that Adam had this by himself. He was the only possessor of it. He and Eve, mankind, had this authority given to them completely. Jesus said in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, this is through Paul as he was writing, that we are joint heirs with Christ. We are heirs together and joint heirs. That means that this authority is now shared between Christ and his church. It's just like if you had a joint checking account. If you have a joint checking account, one person can't withdraw any money. It takes two signatures on there to get anything cashed. And you have to have both signatures. Well, in a joint heirship with Jesus, Jesus is never going to sign this over to the devil again. Jesus will never agree with your carnality, and he will never give this over to the devil. So even if you yield to the devil, you might let the devil run your life, and you might let him destroy you, but he'll never get this power and authority that Jesus won back, because Jesus will never co-sign with you on any of that stuff. And therefore, you can ruin your life, but you aren't going to ever transfer any more power and authority back to the devil. He's beat. He's destroyed. And his only power is deception.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to encourage you to come out and participate in one of our Gospel Truth seminars. I know sometimes people who listen on the radio think, well, I've already heard what you've got to say, but it's just totally different when you get into a meeting and we develop an atmosphere of faith and we have Bible college students and people there praying, and we see a lot of miracles happen. And I go out an hour before every service. I'm usually one of the last ones to leave. There's a lot of ministry that takes place, and I tell you, it would be a tremendous blessing to you. It's quite different than just our radio programs. So check our listings and come visit us at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.